What a time, what an excitement. Praise God. Well, I want to share a little bit this morning and give you an opportunity to connect with what I believe the Lord would have us connect on this very special day we call Resurrection Sunday. But it is a time to remember that God is still the same today as he was when he went to the cross, and even on the day he rose from the cross, he is the same. And not only do we know that, but he gave us the Holy Ghost when he went to be at the right hand of the Father. And so we have God in us as believers. So today, we know that many times we're challenged as Christians. Good things do happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. We understand sometimes it's hard to sort through everything. But we do know one thing as a believer. God is good all the time. Even if we can't figure it out, we don't know why we're going through what we are going through, he does. Amen. And he says this Holy Ghost that we got will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? Amen? There's a movie out right now, and I want to tie it into where I'm going this morning on believing God, because I want you to imagine this life that God has purposed for you now. Not only imagine here, but also in heaven. There's a Bart Millard. He's part of Mercy Me, for those that know Christian music. And you know, his life was not an easy life. At 3 years old, his his mom left the situation and actually divorced his father. His father was brutal, beat him up ongoingly. But the key was this. In the midst of all these beatings and being raised, his sanctuary, his getaway was in the church. He was approached and brought in, so when he would escape his father's beatings, he would go to the church for a sanctuary. Sanctuary means safe place. So when we come and gather, it's not to beat people up. It's not to tell you you're going to hell and you better look out. We're here to encourage you to realize this is a safe place. Amen? That God loves us just like we are. We are all created differently, but he accepts us and loves us as we are, and he teaches us to start to try to be like Jesus and love others as we love ourselves. Amen? Yeah. So as this individual goes through his journey, finds his sanctuary, he's impressed at this stage of his life that there's got to be a change. I need to go deeper. And he's about ready to give up, him and his group, when he had an encounter, or his dad had an encounter with a living God. This father, who had trauma happen to him when Bart was three, carried throughout Bart's life, and he always prayed for his mom and dad. Of course, mom left and went, and he's there with his dad to take the beatings. See, no one chooses who you're born to. Nobody chooses our journey, but we get to this place. The hope is, if we can trust in him, there is victory, not only when we go to heaven, but there can be victory right here. And as he prayed and believed God, God transformed his dead dad into a spiritual change. And he had a coming out, you might say. Well, during this process of hard times, he got with the Lord. He began to imagine, because his dad now was dying of cancer, and he knew he would not have this different father very long. And when his dad passed quickly, he knew that he went to heaven. And all Bart could do is, in this missing his dad, begin to think on those prayers God had answered. His dad did come to the saving knowledge before he left. And God gave him a song. And the song was, I Can Only Imagine. And those of you, it's exploding. Theaters can't keep people in because it's so heart-wrenching. That when this actual song came out and he wrote this, he was envisioning seeing Jesus when he got to heaven, but he was also excited about seeing his father that he didn't get to spend much time on earth with. And I'm here to tell you that whatever your journey and whatever you've gone through, resurrection power can be, yes, in this lifetime, but I'm telling you what, death has no sting to us that believe. Amen? Amen. So we need to have that vision of how exciting heaven is. And we have to get to this place. One of the very favorite songs I like to play at funerals when grieving loved ones don't know what to do. I says, well, I've got one. And it's like setting the stage to have people. And the words go like this. when I walk by the Lord's side. I can only imagine what my eyes are going to see. When your face, Lord, I'm going to see before me. I'll be surrounded by your glory. What's my heart going to feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or will I be so in awe, I'll just be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or will I fall to my knees? Am I going to sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? And I can only imagine. When that day comes, I'm going to find myself standing with you, Jesus, and my Father, and those that have gone before me that will be waiting. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you. Amen. See, there's a capability. God wired our brains. And they say even in the medical communities and in the scientific community, we only use a small portion of it. There's a whole vast dimension that can be developed. And we can go into this place of imagining things that can become a reality. And I want you this day, you may be looking at life, you think your life is tough. You may think you're going through some tough things. Maybe you've got some sickness, or maybe you got a loved one that hates God. Maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home. Maybe you got people that have played and they've been turned off with religion. I want you to imagine them like what Bart had to, his dad exploding with us. He didn't think his dad was for real when this was happening. And I'm going to tell you, when somebody makes that life-changing experience, we have to kind of focus, is this for real? I knew him terrible. And now he's in this state? Imagine. What we can't do, God can do. Amen? What we can't resurrect, God can. Resurrection means taking something in a dead state and making it alive. Amen? And so I want you to envision this. In Genesis chapter 11, when God had created life, people, because we have this capability in our brains, it's called the soulish realm, to think on things. Everyone was speaking the same language. And they were in Babel. And they begin to think, I know how we can get to heaven. So they begin to imagine. And they begin to speak. We'll build a tower. We'll go all the way to heaven. Now, in the natural, we're looking at, that's an impossibility. But God comes on the scene and says, because they're imagining this, and because they're speaking the same thing, nothing will be impossible for them. Now, in the negative, they're trying to build their way to heaven, and we know there's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus. But he makes a way that we can come and get to him, and we don't have to jump through the hoops. We don't have to get good enough. He made us like we are. With all our imperfections because of what's happened out there, he looks not down on it. But he wants you to realize he's working something in you and your loved ones. And my challenge is, grow not weary in well-doing. In due time, you will reap if you faint not. Joshua was told this in Joshua 1:8, if you'll just focus on the Lord and meditate on him and think on him and imagine him, it says, the very things that you do, you shall cause yourself to prosper. When we shift our thinking onto the Lord's way of thinking and we imagine the impossible because it's all possible with him, anything can be attainable in Jesus. Amen? That's why he tells us we can do all things through Christ that empowers us, because he left us with the power of God called the Holy Ghost. In Psalms, the psalmist said it this way, don't hang out with those that don't want to go on for God. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But hang with those that are excited for the things of God. Because as you do, and you meditate, and as you imagine these things, you are going to succeed in whatever you're imagining. I believe God has created us to succeed. I believe the only reason a lot of people don't reach that point isn't because God don't love them as much. It's because the principles they never got a hold of to realize there is more. Get it? Being saved is the most glorious thing. Giving your life to the Lord is the most glorious thing. But that isn't the only thing to have heaven on earth. Right. We then have to learn what's already ours because of receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So we get in here, I didn't know that was part of my destiny. And we begin to live what they call kingdom of heaven on earth as it already is in heaven. And that's why Jesus, while he was on earth, taught us, his disciples, pray that my kingdom would come, my will would be done here on earth as it already is in heaven. Which means he wants us to live in this light. He doesn't punish us if we're not, but we have to grab a hold of what's already ours. Amen. So I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, Resurrection Sunday, Can you imagine your life getting stronger? Can you imagine your marriage being healed? Can you imagine rebellious children giving their lives to the Lord? Can you imagine rebellious parents or grandparents at this stage of the game having a transformation and changing? Can you imagine? Because what's impossible with us is very possible with a God that loves us and has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Paul the Apostle comes on the scene, used to persecute and have a lot of Christians killed. And he gets this unbelievable change because the church was praying. A lot of the believers didn't believe that happened to him. They knew him as Saul. He's having a lot of us killed. Don't believe that he's had a change. But he did have a change. And the Holy Ghost used an imperfect person to write over 2/3, 3/4 of the New Testament, where we can abide and we can grasp strength and be empowered by somebody that was a failure that gave his life and became resurrected. That's the power that we have at our disposal that God has infused us with. Can you imagine? Can you see yourself and your family serving the Lord and coming to this place? There's a scripture I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul to a very confused bunch of Corinthian Christians. And this is what he tells them. He's giving them a challenge for a final victory. I'm going to pick it up at verse 51. Behold, I'm telling you, believers, a mystery. We're not all going to sleep, but we're going to be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, when the last trumpet, for the trump will sound, the dead will be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He goes on, it says, death will not have a sting. You'll hear it many times at funerals, but it's a truth to believers. There is no sting to a believer. We transfer from this life, and we call it here, we graduate to the next one, which is far better. It goes on, and this is so key you grab it this morning because of what Jesus did on the cross. He says this, the sting of death is sin. Remember, we have no sting, so something's got to happen to this sin. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of this sin is the law. The old covenant gave us all the laws, the commandments, and all those that these are things, if you could do them all, you'd be great, but nobody could do them. So it was like strengthening sin itself. So we realize we need a Savior. We can't get good enough for God. So this is what it goes on and says. The sting of death is sin. The strength of the sin is the law. Verse 57. If you don't highlight this in your Bible, you need to. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The strength of sin on anybody, no matter how bad someone thinks they are, because of Jesus Christ, we are washed and empowered and clean forevermore. And we have a victory because of what he did on the cross. As terrible as it was for him, it had to happen so that we would have the avenue that we could say no longer death has a sting because of what Jesus took the sting out of it. Amen. And it's not to twist or tickle someone's ears. It's reality. My wife many times at funerals asks to tell me, don't act so happy and so forth because there's a lot of people here that don't understand. But you know that believer went to be with the Lord and you're laughing and joking and so forth. And I got to realize, I know there's a reverence time. So I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But I'm here to tell you, I've had my mother pass. I've had some aunts. I've had some precious. And it is not sad. I knew they knew the Lord. And they went from having all their challenges down here to their no sting to death and being instantly with the Lord. That's exciting. Down here, sometimes we get caught up in our situations. Verse 58 says, therefore, my believing brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abound in the things of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. See, Paul goes on a little bit later in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, hey, folks, this earthly body is just a tent. And as long as we're in this tent, we're not in heaven. But he says, God has prepared something not with natural men's hands, but with heavenly hands. We know Jesus told us in the Gospels he was going to go away and prepare a place for us. But I want you to imagine, heaven is glorious. I sit in here now and I know many loved ones that we have here that your loved ones already there. That's okay. Or even children. It's a glorious thing. Paul put it this way. In Philippians 1, you don't need to turn to it. He says, believers, I am caught between this struggle. I want to go home and be with the Lord because he'd had already heavenly encounters. He knew how great it was. He says, but if I remain here, it will benefit you. But what I choose isn't what I want to do because I want to go home and be with the Lord. But to benefit you, I'm going to choose to stay for a season. If we could imagine heaven to such a degree that is the highest level of even trying to understand it. Let me just tell you this. I have never read a book. I've never read any articles on people that God has graced them with the ability to go to heaven, including the Pauls and the Johns that had experiences, that ever wanted to come back to earth. Now, some of them were allowed to give us some scenarios and so forth, but I never, even when they talk to mothers that had young kids, you think, oh my gosh, who's going to raise my kids? When you experience, imagine what heaven is actually like, you're not worrying about your kids anymore because you know the Lord has that all taken care of. But because we got finite thinking, we have a hard time imagining. I'm here to tell you Resurrection Sunday is more than just Jesus being raised from the dead. It's empowering us to be like him and to be excited and to believe God for breakthroughs in our lives that seem impossible. Because if they're dead, he can resurrect them and make them alive again. Amen? Praise God. So I brought, some of you have read this story about the pastor that had the son. Todd Burple was the pastor's name, that his son at 4 years old went into this coma for all these certain periods of time and was in heaven and met people and saw people and saw a sister that was miscarried, grown and identified, shared it with a mom. Mom begins to cry. As believers, we don't think that's silly. We think that's kind of cool because we believe that's going to happen. You don't have an old body in heaven. We believe it's going to be about 30 to 33, the age that Jesus went. You don't have ailments. There's no sickness or disease in there. It's down here we pray his kingdom come, his will be done, as it is in heaven, because in heaven, it's good. So I grabbed a book that was put in my hands by another lady that's had an opportunity to go to heaven and come back, and she wanted to convey to people, take typical Christians that had heard about this and what their reaction was. So I'm going to read a couple of them this morning. Be a good day to imagine. First one is from a security guard. He says this, I was overwhelmed by reading and seeing this, understanding it bore witness to my heart. It captivated me. It made me consider my own life. What this author did, it was fantastic. And I'm reading it over and over again. All of a sudden, the juices are wired and where we had a fear element. Just got lost, a hair specialist. Amazing. I laughed. I cried with joy. The obedience of the Lord allowing this author to share bits and pieces of what heaven is like. Wow. Desire to walk with him and with our loved ones. I'm still in awe. Hairstylist, just a common Christian like you and I, just a full-time minister, ministering hair. Another one was a husband, a mentor to children. This book and these revealings of heaven, it caused me to search the things of God out and to bear witness. It gave me a mental picture and it gave me encouragement of what's coming. And what a fascination. Revealing heaven. Wow. A Susan, elementary principal. It brings an eternal perspective to everyday life and it takes the mystery out of the supernatural. Divine encounter. It was a bridge between this gulf of the physical to the supernatural. I know this will help people get a vision that death is not an ugly thing to a believer, but it is an exciting thing. Now, someone might say, well, why are you focusing so much on death? Because to a Christian, there is no death. It's like when Jesus is your Lord, it's just graduating from this life into that. what I'm telling you, when Christ died on the cross and went to hell and led captivity many people that did not know him, and then he went to the right hand and said, here's that comforter I promise you. This comforter, the Holy Ghost, is not only going to be with you, it's going to live in you, it's going to give you the power and the ability to receive and understand and to imagine how good it can be. And I want to challenge you, church, let's not just make this another church service. Let's make this a time when we envision people that we've been believing to have a life experience that will spend eternity with us. Or even here on earth, those that have been struggling with ongoing pains in their body. Doctors can only do so much. We're not opposed to doctors. God bless doctors. Luke was a doctor in the Bible. But you get to a place where nothing is possible if the Lord does not do something supernatural. And that's called resurrection. Oh yeah, we'll be called naive to believe that God is still resurrecting bodies. But he is. Amen? Amen? He's revealing his heart. I wanted to put it into perspective. I'm going to ask Travis to come. I'm going to share just this much about my brother's journey. Most of you that know Travis love this guy. And you'd almost think that this guy has been serving the Lord all his life. Amen? But I will preface it by this. Not having met Travis until a number of months ago, he allowed his wife to come to church for 6 years with his kids and wanted nothing to do with church until God resurrected him.
Thank you, sir. Well, this past Saturday, actually, I had fellowship with many of you here at breakfast, and it was very enjoyable. Unfortunately, I had to sit next to this young man over here wearing a state shirt. So as I was fighting whiteout conditions heading up to my in-laws with 4 inches of snow, believe it or not, up in Fairview, I decided that this place needed a little bit more class. And just so you know, my team's in the finals. So I was actually pretty honored. Pastor Wellen came up and he says, hey, I want you to talk a little bit about your you being saved. And I thought, okay, I can do that. I'm quite honored. So he says, you got 5 minutes. So I said, well, last night I prepared a few notes. No, I'm just kidding. Chapter one, though, right? For the visitors, you won't understand this, but for everyone else, you will. The dot that has been come to like be a symbol. We should almost make a flag of it. Okay? This was my life for many years. I focused on the dot. I did not focus on all the goodness that was around it. When I was 8 years old, I kind of started my theology degree in college, believe it or not. I learned about Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists, Baptists, Southern Baptists, Jehovah's Witness. Not because I wanted to, it's because I had to, because that was the different religions in my family. Our family get-togethers were like a holy war. It was quite a trying time. I was very confused about religion. I had no idea that there were so many different factions, so many different beliefs, so many different rituals. I removed myself a lot from God because, hey, I didn't understand. My intent when I went to church, 8, 9 years old, got my coloring book. When is this going to be over? The padre up front speaking in Latin. I ain't got a clue what he says, but I want to play some baseball. As my life moved on, I watched my family on my mother's side and my father. We all started separating a lot because of religion and religious beliefs. No more Christmas functions. No more family reunions. It's just the way it was. So we moved on. As I became older, people always talk about, in order to stay in God's grace, you must do something good. That's what I was taught. When I was 18, I became a firefighter and an EMT because I thought, hey, if I save lives, bring people back from the dead, I can stay in God's good grace. And I thought that for 28 years. I have pulled people out of burning buildings. I have brought people back from the dead. I take death very personal. When somebody does pass and I cannot bring them back, I am very upset. I would shake my fist at God, wondering why. Why did you take this individual? I just did not understand. I joined the army. Why? Like my brother. I wanted to serve my country, do what was right, take on the angry horde that was going to storm the beaches of the United States someday. Because that's what I had to do, to stay in God's good grace, because I was a sinner. I was a Roberts, which means I was the first to the party and the last one to leave. And by Jove, I was going to be the last one standing, because that's the way the Robertses were. We were partiers. I led a hard life, very hard life. I had brushes with the law. And then I thought, you know what? Instead of having brushes with the law, I should become the law. So I became a cop. All right? I got to protect people. Why? Because the amount of sinning that I have done, I have to do what's right so I can stay in God's good grace. All right. So life is moving along for me. This is how I live my life. I met my beautiful wife as we worked together on the ambulance service up in Mile. Yep. Old Jen. Jen put up with a lot of stuff. She was like me, though. We partied a lot. Okay? We lied to each other a lot. True story. My wife, she yelled at me one day. She says, Travis Alexander. And I was like, Jennifer, I don't even know your middle name. She goes, my middle name is Bernice. And I was like, sweet. All right, I got no problem with that. Till the day we got married, and she signed the marriage certificate, Jennifer Ann. I said, you can't forge this. She says, what are you talking about? I'm like, I can remember sitting in a bar somewhere. We were a little drunk. And you said your middle name was Bernice. She goes, ooh, yeah, that was a lie. I said, all right, we're going to move on with life. Life carried on up north. We partied. We were wild, crazy. We did all kinds of stupid things. We moved down here. My job took me down here, brought my family down here. I was not a good person by any means. I would fight. I would yell. I would scream. I would drink. You know, I was a fireman, for crying out loud. I worked in a chemical plant for many moons. I used swear words as a period. That's the way it was. I can remember having several discussions with my wife that normally led to me slamming the doors and storming out. I can remember storming out one night and go, where is your God now? Because I had no clue. My wife and family started coming to this church 6 years ago. And I thought, okay, have your God. That's great. My kids, Dad, you got to go to this church. You're going to love it. And I'm like, no. Dad believes in God. You know, I found God when I was in a foxhole once. God, get me through this. And you know what? I'll be by your side. Whew, made it through that one. All right, I'm going to take that one back. Don't worry, I'll save a life and make up for it. So as things progressed in my family, September of last year, I was on the brink of utter collapse. I did start showing up here because I lost my job, and my daughter browbeat me enough to come in. I'm like, fine, I'll come in. And as Pastor Mike said this morning, I came in, people up here dancing and waving flags and dancing with sticks and laying on the floor, and I thought, what have I got myself into? All right. All I need is a guy to come in with a shepherd's cane, throw it on the floor, and turn into a snake, right? All right. I learned that. In Exodus, right? All right. Woo! And I thought, man, what have I got myself into? Hey, this lady's laying on the floor. Should I go help her? So I thought, man, this is unbelievable. Then I met Pastor Weldon and PK. Believe it or not, they went to school with my mom, Dwajak. Who would think that me traveling all over the state of Michigan from Kalamazoo to Marcellus to Grayling down to here, that I would meet two individuals that went to school with my mom and graduated with her in Dowagiac, just outside my little town on Marcellus that I grew up in. Unbelievable. You guys have been great. And I think my mom's even watching. I hope so. She told me yesterday, what time does this start? I said, well, service starts at 10 o'clock. She goes, well, good. I'll be watching at 1. And I said, Ma, you're in California. That means 7 a.m. Oh, love you if you're on. So I started coming to the church more. I became a member because I thought this was the right thing to do. I started becoming a lot closer with Pastor Mike. Believe it or not, we are so alike in so many ways. My parents live in Hemet, California. Your dad lives in Hemet, California. My mom went to Dowagiac schools. They went to Dowagiac schools. Wow. Is it coincidence? I don't know. Something brought me here. No accident. So I became a member. I thought, okay, I did good. I'm good. I started coming more. Wearing my ball cap, sitting in the back corner because I didn't want to sit anywhere else. I'd get upset. Hey, somebody's in their seat. Go move them. So finally, in September of last year, even though I was a member, I was still sinning. I was still, as Ephesians 5:16, do not get drunk on wine, which leads us to reckless indiscretion. Instead, be filled with spirit. I was still the same old Roberts. I was a party animal. Nobody was going to take that away from me. It was decided that my wife and I were on the verge of utter collapse. We actually met at a park and talked about us getting divorced and what we were going to do with our children. I walked away from there. I was broken. I had no idea what I was going to do. And I thought to myself, well, I guess it's time to bite the bullet and do something. I drove to my friend Mike's house. I said, Mike, I need help. He goes, what's going on? I said, I am in utter collapse. My family's gone. I've disgraced them. I got to do something. He says, well, you ever been saved? I said, me? I don't know. I probably was. I mean, I've known a lot of religions in my life. Who knows? Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. He says, well, let's talk about God. I said, okay. He's the guy in the big red robe that hangs out up in the sky. He says, no, not like that. We talked a little bit about the Ten Commandments. And I said, isn't that a movie about Mel Brooks? He's like, no. He says, you're kind of confused on this religion stuff. And I said, well, probably am. So we sat there and we talked about God for about 40 minutes. And I says, all right, so how do I do this? He's like, how do you do what? How do I get saved? I said, I'm a practical guy. I need the directions. Give me a book. He hands me a Bible. And I'm like, whoa, too thick. I need something today. Okay, need something today. He goes, Trav, he says, we'll pray. You just open up your heart to God and things will change. And I thought, all right, I can do this. As I'm sitting in this young man's house, all of a sudden he's praying. He lives on the Saginaw River, which sometimes ends up in his house. What's that? Oh, Tittabawassee. Sorry. The fish, don't eat the fish out of the Tittabawassee. Saginaw's a lot better. Okay. Not much. So as I'm sitting there, I'm looking out this big picture window, and all of a sudden the sun pops up over the top of the river, and it's shining on the only person in that room besides him. It's shining on me, not him. I sat up, and I was like, whoa, what just happened? Is this like the Blues Brothers movie, you know? Standing in the church, the sun came through. I couldn't believe it. I sat up, and I'm like, did you just see that? He said, see what? I said, look at the sun. I said, as soon as you started saying that I was saved, the sun appeared up over the top of the river. I thought, wow. I went home, and I thought, hey, my wife's looking at me. She goes, what's wrong with you? I said, well, I just gave my heart to God. Shut up. No, I'm serious. All of a sudden, my phone goes off. It's Pastor Mike. He texts me, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun.
Amen.
And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. my first scripture. I actually have it as the backdrop on my phone. All right? Pretty cool. So life is going on. My wife says, are you going to tell your family? And I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. December, we'll move forward a little bit. December of last year, first weekend of December, my father, Gary, stopped by my house. We did some work on a heater. My wife was not feeling well. My dad was up. My daughter's like, Grandpa, you got to go to church? No. That was not my father. So we kind of packed up, and I said, well, I'm not going to go either. I got to go to Home Depot and get some parts. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get on Facebook, and I'm going to stream the service for the day. So we streamed it. My dad's like, what are you doing? So I got to stream this. We're going to listen to this. He goes, what is it? It says church. All right. So as we're driving up to Home Depot, my father says, so what's going on with the whole church thing? I said, well, Dad, be honest, I got saved. He's like, it's about time. Dad, we don't talk religion. What are you doing here? So we talked about God for a while, and I said, I tell you what, I'm going to wheel in here, and you're going to meet the Pastor Mike and Pastor Weldon. I said, hey, Pastor Weldon's from Dowagiac, knows Ma. Ugh, really? My parents were divorced, okay? All right, I'll meet him. He was kind of coughing, not feeling well that day. We wheeled in the parking lot. I remember the service. The Gideons were here talking. I came in. Pastor Mike's like, hey, you were absent today. I'm like, come on. You know, give me a break. I just started this thing, right? I said, hey, my dad's out in the car. You want to come meet him? So I took Pastor Mike, Pastor Weldon out. Went out and met my dad. My dad had a glow about him. He was happy. Shook your hand. We drove off. I went home. My dad was just smiling. He thought, he was like, wow, man, maybe something has happened to my kid. My dad drove off. I loved him, kissed on him. That was the last time I saw my dad alive. A week and a half later, my wife comes walking into my house and says, hey, your dad, he's gone. Or no, she says, hey, it's your dad. I'm like, all right, give me the phone. I'll talk to him. No, you don't understand. He's gone. He's gone where? No, you don't understand. He's dead. Oh, I got to head downstate. I got to take care of business. I'm the only child. So I load up. I head downstate. I call Pastor Mike, and I'm like, hey, I ain't going to make church. Why not? Oh, my dad passed away. Ooh. He prayed for me. And the whole time down there, just like we learned today, I was not banging my fist on a table like I would have 6 months ago, asking God, why did you take my father? Never once have I ever asked, why did you take my father? Because I know he's in a better place. Mm-hmm. All I asked is, wow, I wish I'd had one more day. One more day. I get down there. One of my friends is the deputy. He's at my dad's house, and I'm like, hey, I want to go see him. He goes, you can't. And I'm like, well, why not? He goes, because you need to remember him for what he is and not what's in that bedroom. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? He goes, he passed away on a Wednesday, Trav. It is now Saturday night. He died in his sleep. I said, man, I've been doing EMS for 28 years. He goes, you ain't going to go in there. All right, I respect that. I walked away. Go to my aunt's house. We're going through the funeral, taking care of arrangements. People start going to bed. My aunt Sue, and my aunt Paulette, my dad's sisters, corner me. And they're like, what's up? I'm like, whoa, ladies, back down. What do you mean, what's up? Who are you and where's our nephew, Travis? I'm like, what are you talking about? You're different. And I said, well, I got saved. We knew it. Why is that? You're not swearing. You're not drinking. You're kind of laughing, having a good time. You're not upset that your dad's gone. You're just accepted it. Huh. All right. For the first time in 30-some years, I actually talked religion with my aunts and some of my cousins. I couldn't believe it. I had never seen this out of the Roberts side. Go to my dad's house the next day. I'm cleaning out some stuff in my dad's room, reminiscing, crying. That's what we do. Also, my phone rings. Hey, it's my ma. I put it on speakerphone. My wife comes in. We're talking. And my mom says, well, I know you're going to make it through this now that you found God. I said, okay, appreciate it, Mom. We'll talk to you later. Hang the phone up. I look at my wife, and I'm like, hey, when did you tell her? Well, I didn't tell her. You must have. I said, no, I didn't tell her. So I called my mom back up, and I'm like, hey, how did you know? She goes, I'm your mother. I know everything. I'm like, wow. So as Pastor Weldon was saying, those who are saved change from bitter people. The movie, I can imagine. I haven't seen it yet. I don't want to because I'm just going to cry through the whole thing. All right? But people do change, okay? I have come here to my new family, Shield of Faith. Okay, this is my chapter 2 of my life. I printed off this little picture of the sign out front. All right? This is my new family now. Amen. One of the things that I have learned in my short tenure of believing in God and on fire for God is Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. The whole armor of God. A final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood of enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition of all these, hold up your shield of faith, which happens to be our church. You guys are now my shield of faith. To stop the fiery arrows of the devil, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. That right there is like my whole life now. And that's what I'm doing here. And I appreciate everybody that has suffered through me for the last 6 months. Thank you. Excellent. Oh, hey. I am going to do this one more thing. I got handed this morning when I walked in. A sure way to lose something is not to appreciate it. So often we take for granted the things that God has blessed us with, which pretty much speaks my life. Thank you. Amen.
I asked Travis to share because you need to be able to envision loved ones. I'm sure Jennifer many times in the last 6 years and the kids thinking, is this ever going to happen? Is it possible? But in God, all things are possible. See, many of you might even be here today because your children brought you here, and I had to not only reflect back on Pastor Mike and Steph 11 years ago when their two beautiful little girl daughters in our elementary or in our church school were excited to come with their aunt to come to church that began to pester their mom and dad to come to church. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, God perfects his praise. And some of us can remember back then when they did come to visit, and it wasn't too much after that that they gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus, and trust me, it's never been the same. They weren't religionized. They didn't know the religion part of it, and thank God, because all they had to do is grab a hold of God, and God's into blessing. Amen? And he's paid the price, so we don't have to, and we're supposed to have a good life. Amen? So if you know a loved one that you're believing for, grow not weary, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. One little quick note, I asked Jeff Kaufman, he's newer to us a few weeks, if I could share just a bit of his testimony. I said eventually I believe he'll share his testimony. But he was an individual that loved God but was climbing up a 30-some foot deer blind. Some of you remember in the news a number of years ago, he fell, crushed his femur, died 7 different times that he had to be brought back. And through that, so many experiences with the Lord and angels. But again, not a fear of dying, but just how God took this and the way he shared it with me. And doctors, there's no way we can restore your femur. It's crushed. Well, I would have him come up here and dance around a little bit, but the point is God is into restoring our physical bodies too on earth. So if you've been dealing with something, and if God can raise, the Bible says the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead abides in us. And if we have the same power of God within us, it's not you, it's the power of God in you that takes dead situations and makes them alive. We're here celebrating resurrection, but I'm here to tell you that God is with us every day, every minute, and he has our good in store. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to say goodbye to our Facebook crew in a second. I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to turn it back over. So I just want to give this invitation to you and to those that are listening. If you're believing God for a loved one, if you're believing God for someone that needs a physical healing, this can be your day. It's not about how much you know. It's not about how much good you do. It's just because Jesus loves you and wants you to acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. You can go to church all your life and not know him. You can go to church not one day and then know him. So I challenge you, if you've never made Jesus Christ, let him resurrect your life like Travis and become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I challenge you that here today also that are believing for loved ones, hang in there. God's working something. And he can bring it about. Amen?
Amen?
And if you need a physical healing in your body, allow God to touch you. The Bible says he sent his word and he healed them. And by his stripes we're made whole. That's not for special people. It's for all of us as special people. Because we're peculiar. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Anyway, God bless our Facebook. We turn you off. We say have a resurrection Sunday like never before. And for the rest of you, allow these words. I know many of you have heard it, but just allow yourself as you listen to the words, you may want to close your eyes and imagine.